The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Please, if you're clapping, you can do better, please. Hallelujah. 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 In the mode of worship, lift up our hands as we begin to worship God. Let's give Him all the glory, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is the I Am that I Am. He's the Aruba of joy. Let us worship Him, let us thank Him, because He deserves all our praise, He deserves all our worship. Fellow Lord, we thank You, Lord, to bless Your holy name. We say that we exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we've come again, we've come once again into Your presence. Oh Lord, we just come to worship You, Lord. We've come to thank You for all that You've done for us, oh Lord. We just say thank You, Father Lord. We bless Your holy name, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I Am that I Am, the Ancient of Days, our Father, our Maker, our Redeemer. We worship You, Lord. We bless Your holy name. We return all the glory back to You, Lord. Oh Lord, we say be Thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, we just worship You, Lord. Oh Lord, we bless Your holy name. We give You all the glory, Lord. Father Lord, we just say thank You, Lord. We return all the glory back to You, Lord. We say be Thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name we have prayed. We're still going to pray, we're still going to thank God. But this time we're going to thank God for yesterday's program, because God showed Himself marvelously in that program and God made that program a success. We're going to say, Father, we thank You for yesterday's program. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, we want to thank You for all You moved in our midst in yesterday's program, oh Lord. We return all the glory to You and we take no glory to ourselves, oh Lord. We just say thank You, Father Lord, for all You moved. Thank You, Lord, for the success, oh Lord. We return all the glory to You, Lord. We say that we're exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we just say thank You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We bless Your holy name, Lord. We say be Thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we thank You. Oh Lord, we thank You. Oh Father Lord, we bless You, Lord. We return all the glory back to You, Lord. We say there's none like You, Lord. We just say thank You, Father Lord. We've come, oh Lord, into Your presence tonight to show how grateful we are unto You, Lord. We've come to Your presence to show our appreciation to You, Lord. We say be Thou exalted, Lord. We magnify Your holy name. We say be Thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we bless Your holy name. Say be Thou exalted, Lord. Hallelujah.
Do.
again, we are still going to thank, us, thank us, worship us, give him all the glory. And us thank him because he's God. And us thank him because since the beginning of this year, he must have done something in your life. And us thank you, Father Lord, to worship you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We say, hallowed be your name. We say, be thou exalted, Lord. Oh, Father Lord, we just worship you, Lord. We magnify your holy name. We cry out, our Father. We say, hallowed be your name, O Lord. We say, hallowed be your name, Father Lord. We return all the glory. We say, be thou exalted, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for who you are to us, O Lord. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, O Lord. We return all the glory back to you, Lord. We say, be thou exalted, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Right now, we're going to pray into yourself. We say, God, speak to us tonight. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, God, go into your word, O Lord. We pray that you shall minister to us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. O Lord, we pray that you yourself shall speak, O Lord, tonight, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. O Lord, we pray that you shall minister to every one of us tonight, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. O Lord, we pray that you shall have your way tonight, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. O Lord, we pray that you shall move by your power tonight, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for answering the prayers. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Let's give Lord a round of applause. Please, with smiles on our faces. With smiles on our faces. Hallelujah. Please, we can have our wonderful and beautiful seats. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to start by thanking God because it's a great privilege to be on this side of the church. I give God all the glory for counting me worthy to be here tonight. Also, use this medium to appreciate our Father in the house, our senior pastor of this commission, for giving me this great privilege to be here tonight. I also thank Mama also, the great support for the settlement of this ministry. I also appreciate our resident pastor, and also every other pastor. I pray that God himself will speak through me tonight in the name of Jesus. And I appreciate everyone stayed here tonight. Hallelujah. I welcome you to the month of October. It's a great month. And I know that in this month that God indeed is going to bless each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Our topic tonight is destiny decoration for timely manifestation. Destiny decoration for timely manifestation. Destiny decoration for timely manifestation. Now, destiny decoration is the beautification and preservation of a person's life. It's the beautification and preservation of a person's life with all the blessings required by the person. It is a beautification and preservation of a person's life with all the blessings required by the person. I know I like this definition. You say with all the blessings required by the person. Not with all the blessings wanted by the person. So it means there are some blessings that God knows that is required of you and he gives it to you. But there are some blessings that you might want, but you don't need them at that time. And God might withhold them from you. So it is the beautification and preservation of a person's life with all the blessings required by the person. Now, the truth is that we all desire destiny decoration. Now, let me ask us a question. Have you ever seen anybody? Just think about it. Since, maybe, no matter how young or old you are, just think about since you've been born to date. Have you seen anybody that just sat down and just said, I wish I'm a failure in life. Have you seen anybody like that before? Or somebody is in school and just sat down and said, I hate to score A1 or B. I just like F. Scoring F9 is my hobby. I just love to fail. Have you seen anyone like that? No, the person doesn't exist. Why? Because everybody wants to be prosperous. Everybody desires destiny decoration. Now, destiny decoration bets destiny manifestation. Once your destiny is decorated, then your destiny begins to manifest. Hallelujah. Now, everybody wants or loves to be decorated, and that is human nature for you. Everybody wants to be decorated. There's nobody that would, let's say during graduation, you know, most times they will call the best student. Yes, the best in this come out, and you see the person will walk out proud. I know I'm very sure people still will be wishing that I wish I'm the one that they are calling out right now to be decorated like this. That is where everybody wants to be what? Decorated. But destiny decoration doesn't just come. There's a prize. Now, Christianity is a call to manifestation. That means that once you become a Christian, the next thing, in fact, your new name is now manifestation. The moment you become a Christian, it means you begin to manifest. So it means whatever your name is, maybe John, Bull, manifestation. The moment you become a Christian. So as Christians, we are expelled to what? Manifest. That's why I said that Christianity is a call to manifestation. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." The creatures are waiting for you. Human beings are waiting for you. Let me shock you. Dogs are waiting for you. Ants are waiting for you. Pigs are waiting for you to manifest. Now, let me give you a picture. If you are jobless, God forbid, somebody is jobless, he's in his house, he's staying in one room apartment, he can barely eat, will you be surprised? You won't be surprised because he's jobless, he doesn't have a job, there's no means of income, he's staying in a very small room, he could barely feed himself. You won't be surprised. Okay, maybe yes. But let's assume that same person now gets a job in, let's say, maybe Shell or Chevron. And after the first month, he's still in that same apartment, living the same life that he was living before. At the second month, still the same life, the same way. At the third month, still the same life. Please, won't you be surprised? You begin to question that, are you sure that this person is working in Chevron? Because it doesn't seem so. Why? Because there are some level of expectation they expect from somebody working in Shell, which they are not seeing in the person's life. And that's where we are asking. Once we become a Christian, there's some certain level of manifestation that they expect from us. And they are waiting to see those manifestations in our lives. Hallelujah. People begin to ask questions that, are you sure that that person is actually working there? Hallelujah. Now, the whole world is waiting for your manifestation, not your explanation. They don't want to hear, yes, it's true, but something happened. This is how it is. No. Nobody wants to hear your explanation. What they want to see is the results. They want to see your manifestation. And like somebody said that once there is results, there won't be argument. Once there's results, there can't be what? Argument. You know, when there's a football match, before the match, you see many people arguing that, you sure for Arsenal, Arsenal go win that match. And nobody says, you know what you're saying, it's Barca. Can't you see that Barca team? They have this. But you know, after the match, and one person wins, let's say Arsenal wins, Barca fans, they will keep quiet. Why? Because they can't argue again. They say, this thing has happened. So once there's results, there won't be argument. And as Christians, the moment we become Christians, the next thing that should come from us is what? Manifestations. And this manifestation, we shut out every argument. Hallelujah. I pray that we shall manifest in Jesus' name. Now, decoration and manifestation, just like every good thing, always comes with a price. You know, think about it. There's no good thing in this life that is... doesn't come with a price. Just think about it. Even the things that are not good even comes with a price too. So everything that is good in this life comes with a price. A good price. Think about it. If you want to buy a shoe, you have to pay for it. If you want to buy a phone, you have to pay for it. I know sometimes the price determines the quality of the goods. You know, how would you feel if you see on internet somebody say, I'm selling an iPhone for 5,000 naira? You know, the first thing that comes to your mind that phone can't be real. Why? Because you know the price that an iPhone is supposed to be worth, and that's not what you're getting. So you know that something is wrong with that. So there's a price, or there are prices to pay for decoration and manifestation. But amongst all these prices, we'll just be looking at one of those prices. And the price we look at tonight is the cost of purity. It's the cost of purity. The cost of purity. The cost of purity. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Peter 1, verse 16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So, our Father is holy. So, we also are meant to be what? Holy. And that word for holiness is purity. Or you can say, consecration. So, we could say purity. We could say holiness. We could say consecration. They all mean the same thing. Now, holiness is a lifestyle. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's not something that you just do today, then tomorrow is gone. No, it's your lifestyle. It's like the way you take your bath every day, the way you brush your teeth in the morning, the way you eat every day. That's your lifestyle. That's the way holiness should be. Holiness should be part and parcel of your daily activity. It should be your lifestyle. Hallelujah. Now, holiness is the character of God, and it is God's pattern. So if you are not saying you are a Christian and you are a son of God or a child of God, it means you have to walk in that God's pattern, which is what? Holiness and purity. Purity is the price for destiny decoration. Now I wrote here, life is not for miserable living. Now God never created us to come to this earth to come and live a miserable life. No. Why would God do that? God's intention is not for us to come to this earth to live a miserable life, but for manifestation. And manifestation is a product of purity or a product of consecration. You know, in the Bible, in 2 Samuel 6, verse 11, naturally, we see that the story of Obed-Edom. We say Obed-Edom, the ark of God was placed in his home. And after 3 months, his life changed. Now, I believe strongly that one of the things that helped him, yes, it was because of stewardship. It was tending to the ark. But another thing I believe strongly that made his life change was because of purity. Because he had to change his way so that, the ark of God is now in my home. I can no longer do some certain things I was doing before. So he changed his life. He now began to live a life of consecration. And after 3 months, even the king knew that something has changed in his life. So the life of consecration always brings about manifestation. Now, sin is one thing that hinders manifestation. Why? Because once there's sin in our life, we become stinking to God. And once we are stinking to God, there's a little that God can do in our lives. So sin hinders manifestation. Hallelujah. Now, I wrote that habits are stoppable. Because some people have some habits. I say, this habit, I can't stop it. I'm trying, but I just can't stop it. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. All things have become new. So it means that there's nothing that you can say that you were doing before that is unstoppable. Everything you were doing before can be stoppable. Hallelujah. Also, we can look at Proverbs 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. What that means is that righteousness or purity is a lifter of man. Righteousness or purity is a lifter of man. The greatest undoing of a person is to live permanently in sin. That's the greatest undoing of a person. When a person is perpetually in sin, that's the greatest undoing that could happen to a person. Now, I wrote that there's nothing like I have tried to stop. I have tried to stop this bad behavior, but I just can't stop it. I have tried to stop this bad habit, but I just can't stop it. I am out of control. It is the devil. Let me tell you, there's nothing like that. Now, let me give you an example or a scenario. Now, let's assume that I have some money, some spare money, that I'm not using it again. Let's say 10 billion naira. I just have 10 billion naira somewhere. I don't want to use that money. And I want to dash somebody here tonight. Please, I'll ask whether it is yes or no. I want to give somebody 10 billion here tonight. But there's one thing you have to do. You have to stand up and jump up. And your hand must touch this roof. If you can do that, I will give you 10 billion naira. If you can stand up and jump and touch this roof, I will give you 10 billion. Please, will anybody go with that price tonight? No. Why? Because you are not built to jump like that. It is not inside of you to be able to jump. Even if I carry a gun and point your head, jump. You can't do that. Why? It is not in your build-up to be able to jump that high. So no matter what the price is, you will never be able to accomplish that feat, to be able to jump and touch this roof. However, if you do it, maybe if you do it, we don't know, but if you do it, it means that maybe you had that in you before. But now let me give you case two. Now in case two, I walk to a beer parlor. And I see people drinking and smoking. I say, okay, everybody drinking and smoking, I have something for you. Stop drinking and smoking for 6 months and I give you 10 billion. Will anybody win that prize? Somebody will definitely win that prize. That means that they could have stopped that on their own if they wanted to. Why couldn't you jump when the prize was 10 billion? Because you are not built to jump. You can't jump. So no matter what the prize is, even if they put gun in your head, you won't be able to jump. But there are things that we're doing in our lives right now that when we see some conditions, we'll be able to change. Are you saying that those people will not change for that 10 billion? They will change. Or if you point a gun to their head now, stop this bad behavior, I shoot you. Won't they stop it? They will stop it. Anything that you can stop when you are being forced to stop it, it means you could have stopped it on your own without any force. That's just the way. It's nothing like I can't stop. It's a lie, you can stop. So no, I can't stop is just an excuse. Saying that, I can't stop. Wow, this thing is too difficult for me. I can't stop. Let me tell you, you can stop. If you put your mind to it that, I want to stop this evil tonight. Or I want to stop this right now. It is possible to what? It is possible to stop. You know, I was listening to a man speak, and he said that there was a generation many years ago that knew what was right. And they did the right thing. I know along the line, that right thing became all right. It became altered right. That is, they knew what was right, they knew what was wrong. And they were doing what was wrong. But you know the last thing he said? He said, this generation now is even worse. Because they are not seeing what is wrong as what is right. And they are doing what is wrong as right. In those days, you see that, let's take Africa for instance. Women cover their bodies in those days. Everywhere is covered. But right now, if you cover your body, it means you don't know fashion. So you can see that the trend is... In those days, if you watch Nigerian film, in fact, if they are kissing the movie, you say, everybody, we can't watch this. But right now, in fact, they haven't shown reality pornography on TV. And people put on their gen to watch it. That is where we are right now. A generation that believes they are doing the wrong things, and they are seeing it as the right thing. It's no more wrong. Those things are now right. They are doing the wrong thing and they are seeing it as the right thing. You know, some time ago, my cellar was preaching and he said something. He said, shunting is a sin. That if you shunt, it is a sin. Hallelujah. And when he said that, all of us were like, because all of us have shunted before. I'm sure we know what shunting is. Papa gave us an example of shunting. That when he was at the airport, somebody was still trying to shun that I was there before, and he was not there. And let me tell you the truth, before that time, to me, shunting was not a sin. Because I just felt that sometimes, if you are sitting on a queue for a long time, and your legs are paining you, and you see your party somewhere, you can just quickly go and say, party alpha, let me just... You know, when he said that, all of us were like, so shunting is a sin, we're like, it's like this guy, you are too spiritual. But that's where we find ourselves right now. We are doing so many wrong things, and to us, it's the right thing. If I tell someone that this thing is wrong, you say, you are not serious. What are you saying? God will understand. God will understand. No. Wrong thing is wrong thing. God will not understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right, most of the things that destroy people's life are things like greed, immorality, idolatry, bitterness, and so on. And these things can be stopped. These things can be stopped. Because let me tell you, there's no character that came with you from birth. Is there anybody that the character came with you from birth? Maybe you were born and they say, this person is this. No. Most characters that you got, you acquire them. The good ones, you acquire them. The bad ones, you acquire them. And just as you acquire them, you can also what? Deacquire them. If anything, you can also what? Drop them down. Just the way you did what? Acquire them. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you that under evil is also money. Do you know that money is not the root of evil? In fact, money is not even evil. Because there are so many things you can use money to do. So money is not evil, but it's the love of money that is what? Evil. The love of money is the root, not even money. The love of anything. Whereby that thing is not taking the place of God in your life. That's the root of evil. Whereby that thing is not the God in your life. You worship that thing like as if that thing is your God. That is the root of what? Evil. Hallelujah. Now we have here the next subtopic, facts about sin. Facts about sin. facts about sin. Now, sin is destructive. Sin is destructive. Romans 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Now, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, sin is destructive. Sin is what? Destructive. God, think about it. Think about most sinful acts. Just think about it. Most sinful acts usually end up with side effects. Think about it. Most sinful acts. There's always something bad somehow behind the act. Look at smokers, for instance. You know, they write boldly on the carton. You see it on the carton. Smokers are liable to die young. That's it. They are giving you a disclaimer that this thing you are taking, it can kill you. Yes, somebody will see, go there and you will see it. Smokers are liable to die young. And you just pick it up and still smoking it. When you are seeing instruction that this thing you are taking is going to kill you, they are still smoking it. And you will be amazed to know how much tobacco, cigarette is making per year in sales. It's so alarming and so amazing. So sin is what? Sin is destructive. There's nothing sinful that will be productive in our lives. No. Nothing at all. And think about it. When we think about all this sin, the Bible will tell us, don't do this. Don't do that. Okay, if you don't lie, please, how will God gain from that? God says that you should not lie. If you don't lie, please tell me how will God gain from you not lying? Will God gain anything? Nothing that God is going to gain. They say, don't fornicate. Please, if you don't fornicate, how will God gain from that? What is God gain in that? God does not have any gain in that. It's for your own benefit. So sin is a destroyer. Hallelujah. As we have seen, the wages of sin is death. Now, number two is sin is deceptive. Sin is deceptive. And that's what we are seeing now. You know, this sin we are seeing now didn't start now. It started from a long time. It started coming gradually. They were deceiving people. After a while, there are so much deceiving people that people are now seeing the wrong thing as the right thing. So the right thing now looks like the wrong thing. When the right people look at that, what's wrong with this man? What's wrong with you? This is not the right thing. You are doing the wrong thing. Sin is deceptive. Now, number three is sin displaces a person. Sin displaces a person. Now, look at Lucifer. Look at King Saul. Look at Gehazi. Look at Samson. Look at Judas Iscariot. What happened to all these people? They were displaced just because of one thing, just because of iniquity, that's all. Just because of iniquity, they were displaced. Look at also Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were sent out of the Garden of Eden. Why? Due to sin. If they are not committed sin, they will still be in the Garden of Eden till now. Or till whenever they had died. Hallelujah. But with righteousness, we can get back into the garden. You know, I think 2 days ago, when the minister of God was preaching, he said something about the garden. And I thought about it that we're actually in our garden right now. That once you give your life to Christ, you are now in your Garden of Eden. And God is watching how you are going to tend to that garden to know if you will be qualified to get into heaven. Once you become a Christian, this, your earth around you, is your Garden of Eden. And you know in the Bible, God told Adam and Eve that they should tend to the garden. The same thing, once you become a Christian, God is already giving you an instruction, turn to the earth. And I'm going to tell you, God is watching how you turn to that Eden. How you turn to Eden will determine if you'll be qualified to enter heaven. You know, when you go to go and apply for a job, they want to see your CV. They want to check, is this person that I employ, is he qualified to get this job? They will check. If you go to a company with your CV, and let's assume your CV, what they wanted maybe a first class student with 10 years experience in, let's say, fishery. First class student with 10 years experience in fishery. Then you didn't study fishery, you studied, let's say, accounting. You came out with pass. And you have 0 years experience. You don't have any. You now came with your CV that I want to apply for this job that they want first class and they want 10 years experience. They now ask you, okay, what can you offer? I say, I can't offer anything, but just employ me. Please, will that person get the job? He might not even get to the point of interview itself, not talk of even getting the job. Why? Because he's not qualified. What is in his CV does not qualify him to get that job. And I believe that's exactly what we are doing on earth. What we are doing on earth, we are writing our CV. And that CV is what is going to be read on that day. And say, this person, okay, you have a good CV, good. You are heaven worthy. But if your CV is not good enough, then you might not be heaven worthy. Hallelujah. So sin displaces a person from his rightful position. Hallelujah. Now we have here pathways to purity. Pathways to purity. Number one is talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. I don't mean in a bad way, like talking like a mad person, but try to correct yourself. Talk to yourself. Speak to yourself. You know, most times when you do something wrong, most times you know that this thing I've done is not good. So most times you should be able to create time to be able to sit down and reason and talk to yourself. This thing I'm doing, it's not good. Let me change. Because like Papa would say that if you are not someone that can think, you will stink. So there should always be a time where you can sit down and assess yourself that am I doing right now? Am I doing okay? You should be able to evaluate yourself at every point in time and say, am I doing okay? This thing that I've done, is it okay? This thing I've done, is it not okay? Hallelujah. So one of the pathways to purity is to what? Talk to yourself and correct yourself. Because if you don't do that, then it will be difficult. Because one of the best correctors of yourself is yourself. If you can correct yourself and talk to yourself that this thing I'm doing is not good, there's a high chance that you will change than somebody else talking to you. If you or yourself think about it and say, this thing I want to change, I'm telling you, the chances are high that you are going to change. So one of the pathways to purity is talk to yourself. Hallelujah. Number two is purge your heart from filthiness. Purge your heart from filthiness. Purge your heart from filthiness. 2 Timothy 2 verse 21. 2 Timothy 2 verse 21. Now, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work, and prepared unto every good manifestation. So you can see, you must first purge yourself. And once the portion is done, what's the next thing? You'll be eligible to be used for what? Great and good what? Manifestation. That's what the Bible is saying. But it starts with the purging. It starts with the what? With the purging. So once you purge your heart from every filthiness, from every defilement, from every impurity, the next thing that comes in line is you become eligible to be used as God's vessel. Hallelujah. Number three, pathway to purity is store God's word in your heart. Store God's word in your heart. Psalms 119 verse 9. Psalms 119. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That is, they're asking you, how will a young man cleanse his ways? What is the answer? The word. Very simple. Also, in that same chapter 119, let's look at verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, once you have the word in your heart, the chances of committing sin becomes minimized. Why? Because when I mean in your heart, it's not knowing it. There's a difference between knowing the word and having the word in your heart. Because you can know the word and the word is not in your heart. You just know it. Yes, the Bible says this, but you don't have it in your heart. When you have it in your heart, means you have passion for the word. It's in your heart. So to commit sin becomes very difficult because the word is telling you, this thing is wrong. And you have passion for the word. That is why the word is in your heart. So you will not want to commit sin. The other part is sin. The word of hiding in my heart doesn't mean that you have the word in your heart too. I mean that you have the word in your head, that you know the word. The devil knows the word. The devil knows the word. So, the word in your heart means that you have passion for the word. And that passion for the word is what will hinder you from what? Committing sin. When you want to do this, you say, no, the Bible says I should not do this. And you will know what? You will not do it. Hallelujah. Now, number four, pathway to purity is walk daily in the fear of God. Walk daily in the fear of God. This is also a pathway to what? To purity. You know, it's very amazing right now. People are so... In fact, they just commonize God. Nobody is even afraid of God again nowadays. People don't even fear God again. And it's very obvious now. People don't even fear God. You know, in those days, you know, if something just happens, maybe somebody just dusting, just see thunder can just come from the sky. Bah! The person will just die. And everybody happens, man, God is this. But nowadays, because of so much mercy, people don't even fear God again. You know, I can't remember where I heard this. I can't remember who was saying this. He said, if you put something maybe in the church, somebody can go into the church, look left, look right, and steal that thing, and go out. But just put something in the open field, then put maybe calabash with something red. Now maybe sprinkle blood around that thing. Now put some things there. You see how they'll be afraid. You see, I cannot go there. You see how they'll be scared. But they are not scared to enter into God's house. That is, this generation is only God that can help us. Because the fear of God is not even there at all. It's not even there small like this. It's not there at all again. And that is why we, this generation, we have a lot of work to do. Because the fear of God is not there. How are we not going to make heaven now? How are we going to make heaven? Because let me tell you, if you make heaven and other people don't make heaven, let me tell you, it's your fault too. Or it's our fault. So don't think that my life is okay. I'm living a pure life. So I know I'll make heaven. So if my neighbor does not make heaven, it's not my business. If you make heaven, other people don't make heaven. Or if you make heaven, others don't make heaven. Let me tell you, it is our fault. We as Christians, it is our fault. So it is high time we begin to take our ground. Because even Christians don't fear God. That's why Christians can do so many things in the house of God that are not meant to be done. So the fear of God is one of the pathways to what? To purity. So we should walk daily in the fear of God. Daily doesn't mean that only on Sunday between maybe 7:30 to 1 o'clock we fear God. But from that 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. till the following Sunday, there's no fear of God again. Or maybe till Wednesday, from 5 till 8, we fear God. From that 8 till that next Sunday, we're not fearing God again. It should be a daily thing. It should be our lifestyle. We should fear God on a daily basis. So walk daily in the fear of God. Now number 5 is practice holiness. Practice holiness in your day-to-day living. Practice holiness in your day-to-day living. So it means that as you live on a daily basis, you need to what? Practice holiness. Always, in anything you find yourself, anywhere you find yourself, you need to what? Practice holiness. And let me tell you, once you practice holiness, it will help you. Because once people know your stance, you know, this person is this, so there are some things that they will not tell you. There are some things that they won't tell you to come and do. Because you know, this person will not do it. So in our day-to-day living, we should try as much as possible to practice holiness. Let me tell you the truth, it is not easy. It's not saying it's very easy to just come to just practice. No, it's not easy. But it is self-determination I want to practice holiness. Then you practice it. You know, let me ask us, is there anything that is easy in this life? Is there anything that is easy? There's nothing easy. You just create time for what you want to do. Or you do what you need to do. As you are working now, is there any job that is easy? Even the job that you think is not easy, just go and work there first. You will see how easy it is. So there's no job that is easy. Nothing is easy. So everything that I see people doing with passion, it's not because it is easy. It is because they have made up their mind to do it. Not because it is just easy and they don't want to do it. No. It is because they have made up their mind that I want to do it and they are doing it. So if we make up our mind to practice holiness, it is doable and it is achievable. And I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So quickly, I don't want to take a recap of what we've done tonight. Tonight we looked at destiny declaration for timely manifestation. Hallelujah. I would say that manifestation has a cost or has many prices to be paid. And one of those prices to be paid is the cost of purity or holiness. I would say holiness is something that as Christians should be in us. And also we looked at facts about sin. We said sin is destructive, sin is deceptive,
Sin displaces a person. Then we looked at pathways to purity. We said, talk to yourself. That is, you should always correct yourself. You should try to correct yourself when you've done or you've gone astray. Number two is purge your heart from filthiness and defilement. Number three is store God's word in your heart. Number four is walk daily in the fear of God. And number five is practice holiness in your day-to-day living. I pray that this word we have heard tonight, that God give us the grace to be able to adhere to them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Right now, let's bow down our hearts and speak to God. I don't know if there's anyone here that you've just feel like you've gone astray, that you are no more in the right path. Just speak to God right now and just tell Him that you are sorry. Just speak to Him and tell Him that you are sorry, that you are ready to return back to the right way. Because the Bible says all have sinned, yes, but right now you want to return back. You know that this thing you've done is wrong. You have to talk to yourself. This is part of things we've learned. Pathway Spirit, talk to yourself. Try to speak to yourself right now and think about it. Yes, I've done this thing. I know that it is wrong and I want to move in the right path. I want to move from the wrong path and move to the right path. Let us speak to God and tell God that we are sorry and we are ready tonight to move to the right path, to the path of purity, to the path of holiness, and to the path that will lead us to manifestation. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. And let us be on our feet.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.